Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Shrima Bhagavatam ki, Girilaj Maharaj ki, Goprema. So what did we discuss in last night's class? Anything else?
You mentioned that without finding Krishna in the bushes of the Dhamma, you can find him in the instructions of the spiritual master.
Who said that? No, Prabhupada said that. Anything else? Any other points? Okay, so tonight we begin chapter 15. What is chapter 15 called? So what is significant about this is that Krishna is entering into Pauganda Lila, and also we see Kaishora Lila begins to manifest. Pauganda means, up until now, Krishna has been 5 years old, which means Kaumara Lila. So it means in the Kaumara Lila, the Vatsalya Rasa is the principal rasa. Krishna is experiencing the love of his parents and the elder gopis, because Krishna is in a younger age. He's less than 5 years old. And now he's just about to go into Pauganda Lila. So Pauganda means when Krishna is 5 to 10. So in Pauganda Lila, the main rasa is what? Sakya. Sakya means friendship. 5 to 10, Krishna just likes to play with the boys. It says that during that time, him and Balaram are inseparable during that period. And then, from the age of 10 to 15, Krishna goes into Kaishora Lila, in which Madhurya Ras or Sringara Ras with the gopis, that becomes prominent. So tonight we hear about Pauganda Lila, and it's like, it's Pauganda, but it's already merging into Kaishora Lila. Because the gopis appear for the first time in the Bhagavatam. So we hear about the killing of Dhanukasura, very interesting demon. We'll hear about why he is interesting, and there's some important points about Dhanukasura as well. So chapter 15. Shukadev Goswami said, when Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Pauganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet.
Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his cowherd forces, who had been swallowed by Agasura and then stolen by Lord Brahma. Therefore, the Lord decided to bring them into the palm tree forest called Kalavan, where there were many delicious ripe fruits. Since Lord Krishna's spiritual body had apparently grown slightly in age and strength, the senior men of Vrindavan, headed by Nandi Maharaj, decided to promote Krishna from the task of herding cows to the status of a regular cowherd boy. He would now take care of the full-grown cows, bulls and oxen. Out of great affection, Nanda Maharaj had previously considered Krishna too small and immature to take care of full-grown cows and bulls. It is stated in the Kartika Mahatma section of the Padma Purana, the 8th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by authorities as Gopashtami. From that day, Lord Vasudev served as a coward. Whereas previously he had tended the calves. The word Padai indicates that Lord Krishna blessed the earth by walking on the surface with his lotus feet. The Lord wore no shoes or other foot gear, but walked barefoot in the forest, giving great anxiety to the girls of Vrindavan, who feared that his soft lotus feet would be injured.
Good. Any points there?
Is it the day that Radharani's
lotus feet is seen?
Or is it some other
story? What's the question? I'm not sure.
Is this the day
when
Radharani's lotus feet is visible?
Yeah, yeah. Gopashtami, yeah. That's the only day of the year.
I don't know the significance, correlation of that.
We can tell you. we know this one. We'll answer the other stuff in the morning. We'll tell that story. Any other points?
Even though Krishna was killing all the demons are performing like Krishna's task, but still Nandamaraj and all the cowherd men think that they were like immature and little, so then they gave them high responsibility. So this shows their Vasa, and how they were always thinking that they were like little boys and always taking care of them. Not taking them as some, you know, some superhuman power so they can do anything they want them. Let them go, okay, Krishna is killing all demons, so let him go away and he can take care of anything. So they were still keeping their rasa intact, whereas Krishna was only at the same time showing his superhuman power.
Yeah, this is where Krishna changes from Vatsapal to Gopal. Vatsapal means he's the protector of the calves. So he's in the Kaumara Leela. So they would let him take the calves out when he's 3 years old, 4 years old. He could just take the calves. But then, at this age, then he becomes Pauganda. So he's 6 years old. And because he's six, he starts to say to his parents, I want to take the cows out. And then his parents say, no, you're not big enough to take the cows out. But he's so insistent about taking the cows that he convinces them, and then he turns into Gopal. Gopal means the protector of the cows. So what day does that take place on? It's called Gopashtami. So Gopashtami is the second Ashtami in Kartik. Very auspicious. In Vedic culture, they would always choose auspicious times to perform activities. Just like Purnima, when the moon is full, that's considered very auspicious. That day is auspicious. Yesterday was Amavasya, so it's when the moon is dark. That is also, under certain circumstances, that is considered auspicious also. And Ashtami is when the moon is completely in half. You see in the sky when it's directly in half, that is Ashtami. Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Gopashtami. These days are considered very auspicious. The energy is very good on those days. Because the moon and the sun are in a quad, so the energies are very powerful at that time. So on this day, which is called Gopashtami, then Krishna is allowed to take out the cows. So Mother Yashoda, it means that if he's going to take out the cows, then he'll go further into the forest. Because when he takes the calves, they don't go as far. That's, you know, they kept them close to Nandigram. So they were out, but not so far. But now, it means if he's taking the cows, he's going right out. So in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't wear shoes. It says in this verse that wherever he walks, you can see the 21 marks on his feet. He has auspicious marks. Whenever he walks, you can see those marks. Now, this will come up later in the Bhagavatam. It comes up again and again. And the bridge buses won't step on his footprints. If they see his footprints, they take the dust, but they won't step on them. So Mother Yashoda said, okay, if you're going to go out with the cows, you can go, but you have to wear shoes. You can't go barefoot. You're going right out there, you'll hurt your feet. Krishna said, okay, I'll wear shoes, but then all my cows have to wear shoes as well. And it's 900,000 counts. So it's not possible. So Krishna's like that. He's always somewhat defiant. He's obedient to his parents, but he's also very... what's the right word? Yeah, he's got a stubbornness about him. Back in the second chapter, I think it was, then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur shows his chart. So he's Taurus rising. Taurus is the stubborn sign, the bull. Krishna is Taurus in the first house, like Dhammitai, like moon, and like that. So like got that stubborn kind of fixed personality. So he takes rest, and the next day he's going to take out all the cows. So the cows, they're in anxiety because they think, well, if Krishna comes out, Krishna will hurt his feet. Because he'll be walking out there and he'll step on sticks or stones. Things will hurt him. So therefore, thinking that he will become hurt the next day, then the cows go out in the middle of the night. While Krishna is asleep, apparently asleep, the cows go out and they go all through Vrindavan, and with their hooves they stamp all the stones and the pebbles and they turn it into talcum powder. Like talcum powder. Braj Raj means dust. Has anyone been to Vrindavan? So you know the dust is like talcum powder. Very fine. Yeah. You know that Raman Reti near the Krishna Balaram temple, just behind? That place, that's actually the place where the Krishna used to do the cow herding pastimes. And you go there and it's like talcum powder. It's like fine dust. So the cows, they crushed everything up to make it all very... So when you walk, you can walk barefoot. You won't hurt your feet. So then, the next day, then on Ashtami, Gopashtami, then Krishna goes out with all the cows. And that is the beginning of his Pauganda Leela and the beginning of his pastime as Gopal. Now in Vrindavan on that day, Gopashtami is a very auspicious day. That day is that's the day that I received Giriraj on that day, Gopashtami. It's extremely auspicious day, extremely. And in Vrindavan, it's the practically, sometimes on Radhashtami, but it's practically the only day of the year where you'll see Radharani's feet. So on that day there's a pastime because Krishna was feeling separation from Radha, but Krishna could not meet with her because Jatila, who is Radharani's mother-in-law, she was keeping Krishna at home. Sorry, Radha at home. So Krishna said to Subal, his closest friend, he said, I cannot bear the separation from Radha. I have to meet her. But Jatila is not letting her come. So I cannot meet her. So then, Subal said, we'll make a plan. So Subal, he got one of the calves, and the calf ran into the house of Jatila. So Subal ran in after the calf. And then, Jatila said, what are you doing here? He said, oh, my calf has run through the courtyard. And he said, you're the friend of Krishna. That means he is around. I do not want him anywhere near here. And Subal said, no problem. I'll just get the calf and I'll leave. So he went in looking for the calf and he found Radha, Srimati Radharani. So Subal and Radharani, their faces are identical. One's a boy, one's a girl. And actually it says in Vedic culture, someone is very auspicious. If they dress like a girl, they look like a girl. But if they dress like a boy, they look like a boy. There's one, you know, the TP of Adelaide, Adi Purush Krishna. Some of you may know him, some of you. His daughter, what's his daughter's name? Preeti? Anyone know who I'm talking about? You know? Okay, no one else knows who I'm talking about?
The Adelaide Temple President. Adelaide Temple
President. Adelaide Temple President. His daughter, Preeti, you know?
Yeah, Dr.
Yeah, his daughter, yeah. So most of you don't know what I'm talking about, but she's got that kind of face. No? If she dresses like a boy, she looks like a boy. If she dresses like a girl, she looks like a girl. Very auspicious. Some of you may have it, but you'll have to change your clothes to find out. That's the only way to find out. You have to dress like a girl, but then you look feminine, and it works both ways. It's considered very auspicious when someone has that. So Radharani and Subal look the same, but one's a boy, one's a girl. So Subal ran in and he said, Krishna wants to see you, quick, we'll change clothes. So Radharani took all the clothes of Subal, dressed like a boy, cowherd boy. Subal took the clothes of Radharani, dressed like a gopi. And then Radharani, she picked up the calf and put it on her chest to hide her breasts. And she held the calf and she walked out. And Jatila, because Jatila is a little blind anyway, and Radharani's walking out with the calf, he said, oh, Subal, you found the calf? Get out of here, quick. Go back and tell Krishna to get out of here as well. I don't want him anywhere near here. Go. Like that. So Radharani did not speak, just went out. So Krishna is hiding in a grove near there. So then Radharani walks in Subal Vesh, Sakha Vesh. That's why on that day, Gopashtami, that's why Radharani dresses as a cowherd boy. If you go to all the temples in Vrindavan, she dresses like a cowherd boy on that day. Very auspicious darshan. And that's when you see her feet, because she's dressed like the cowherd boy. In the ISKCON temple in Vrindavan, the Krishna Balaram Mandir, I think they dress her in a sari, but they show her feet. But actually, if you go to most of the temples in Vrindavan, she's dressed as a Sakha Vesh. So she walks in and Krishna's there, but Krishna's crying so much in separation from Radharani, he can't see. And he says, Subal, you weren't successful. And Radharani won't say anything because she doesn't want Krishna to know it's her. And then she speaks in his voice. Radharani speaks in the voice of Subal. And she says, it's okay. Radharani, we couldn't get Radharani, but it's okay, Chandravali is there. Because Radharani wants to see what does Krishna think of Chandravali. And Krishna says, I don't care, thousands of Chandravalis, I don't care, they're not equal to one Radha. Right? And then Radha puts the calf down, she puts her arms around Krishna's neck. And then Krishna's crying. And Radharani says, don't you understand, your maidservant is in front of you. I'm here. And then Krishna suddenly realizes it's Radharani. So then they get united. So that happens on this day, Gopashtami. So if you go to Vrindavan, if you go around all the temples, Radha Kund, or even the temples around Vrindavan, the famous temples, you see Sakha Vesh. It's a very auspicious day. Any other points? Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, a key. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. Jagannath Prabhu.
Sanatana Goswami has explained the various meanings of the word Madhava as follows. Madhava normally indicates Krishna to be the Lord, who is the consort of the goddess of fortune and Lakshmi. This name also implies that Lord Krishna descended in the dynasty of Prabhu. Since the spring season is also known as Madhava, it is understood that as soon as Lord Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest, it automatically exhibited all the opulences of spring, becoming filled with flowers, breezes, and the celestial atmosphere. Another reason Lord Krishna is known as Madhava is that he enjoys his pastimes in Madhu, the taste of conjugal love. Lord Krishna would loudly sound his flute as he entered the forest of Sri Vrindavan, thus giving inconceivable bliss to all the residents of his hometown, Vrindavan. These simple pastimes of playfully entering the forest, playing on the flute, and so forth, were performed daily in the spiritual life of Vrindavan.
So what are the points there? So Krishna is known as Madhava. Madhava has different meanings. Another reason Lord Krishna is known as Madhava is that he enjoys the pastimes of Madhu, the taste of conjugal love. So it's a name that the gopis use for Krishna, Madhava. Madhava also means spring. So there are also pastimes where Krishna goes to visit Radha and she is locked behind the door. Krishna knocks on the door and then Radha says, says, Kayasi, like, who is that? Who is that? Krishna says, it is Hari. She says, Hari means a lion. Is there a lion at my door? Go away. And he knocks again. She said, who is that? He says, Madhava. Madhava means spring. Springtime has come. It is not springtime, it is winter. Go away. So he keeps knocking on the door, and every time she says something, he says something, she just says, go away. That's their rasa between Radha and Krishna. So Madhava also means springtime. Springtime is extremely auspicious. So when Krishna goes into the forest of Vrindavan, the forest, seeing Krishna, it blooms. It becomes attractive. Because when Krishna goes into the forest, every flower, right, every tree, every animal, it becomes full of life. It describes in different books by the Goswamis that before Krishna goes into the forest, all the flowers are wilting, the plants are drooping, the animals are very silent. But then Brinda Devi, she will come through, she is the forest goddess, or her parrots will come through, and they'll say, Krishna is coming, Krishna is coming. And as soon as they hear that Krishna is coming, everything comes to life. And then when Krishna enters, everything becomes blissful. It's like everything blooms and festive, becomes like a utsava. So Krishna, as he comes into the forest, then he sees the whole forest becomes alive in reciprocation with him, and then he becomes more beautiful. And there's a transcendental competition between Krishna and Krishna's devotees. It says like that with the gopis, that when the gopis see Krishna, Krishna is so beautiful that the gopis become more beautiful seeing him. And then he sees they're more beautiful, he becomes more attractive. And it says the competition goes on forever. They just increase in beauty. It's the same as Vrindavan. When Krishna goes into Vrindavan, the whole forest just... And then he becomes more blissful. And then the whole forest becomes... And then this is the way Vrindavan is. Vrindavan is alive. Because it is an expansion of Lord Balaram. So therefore the entire forest is there to serve Krishna. The entire forest of Vrindavan is there to give pleasure to Krishna. So it is conscious. Everything in the spiritual world is conscious. So Krishna takes his cows into the forest. This is when he's taking the cows. He goes deep into the forest because in the forest there are many things for the cows to eat. So it nourishes the cows. And especially out of all the places in Vrindavan, which is Krishna's favorite place. If you read the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, it says higher than Vaikuntha is Vrindavan, and higher than Vrindavan is? First it says Govardhan. Yeah, because in Vrindavan, the most pleasurable place for Krishna and his cows is Govardhan. And then it says even higher than Govardhan is Radhakunda. Radhakunda is part of Govardhan. But it's the most sacred of all the places, the most dear to Krishna. So Krishna takes them deep into the forest because the cows will be nourished. So Vrindavan has beautiful grasses for the cows to eat and beautiful water for the cows to drink. And the cows eat lotus flowers and they eat all these things which will give fragrant milk for the pleasure of Krishna. So he takes them deep into the forest. And the forest fulfills the desires of Krishna and all of his friends also. You'll see in this chapter, Krishna's going into the forest. Everything they desire is in there. Right? They pick up the peacock feathers, they decorate themselves, they take the feathers from the birds that have dropped on the ground, they decorate themselves, they take the pigments from the hill, the minerals, they decorate themselves in different colors. Right? They take the gunja berries, and then they make necklaces, and Krishna ties his top knot with gunja berries. Right? So they take everything from the forest, the flowers, they make garlands, the leaves, and they take all of this paraphernalia and then they use that to decorate themselves. And it is said in the Shastra that Krishna prefers the necklaces, the garlands, the anklets, the bracelets, the armlets, the earrings. He prefers the paraphernalia, which is made from the flowers of Vrindavan, more than he does all the jewels in Vaikuntha. So Vrindavan satisfies all of Krishna's desires and all of the desires of his devotees. And all the desires of the cows. And it also it fulfills all of his desires. And Vrindavan becomes fulfilled when Krishna is present. So Vrindavan is unlimitedly satisfying for Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Jai Ho Vrindavan. Radharani Express Ki. There's one train that goes to Vrindavan. It's called the Radharani Express. I don't know if it operates anymore, but it used to go. A little train. Well, no, Danodar Swami, my Shiksha Guru. He got the train from Mathura to Vrindavan, and he didn't have a ticket because he got on the train late, so he didn't have a ticket. And he got to Vrindavan, and when he got off the train, he went up to the station master who was checking the ticket, and he said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I did not have time to buy a ticket." And he said, "You don't need a ticket to come to Vrindavan. Just chant Jai Radhe." So you chant Jai Radhe, you can go to Vrindavan Dham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of a hundred petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to join the auspicious atmosphere. So, hey Mitesh.
Lord Krishna saw that the Vrindavan forest was giving pleasure to all five senses. The bees, birds and animals made charming sounds and brought sweet pleasure to the ears. The wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake, and thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. By the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated, and the fragrance of lotus flowers was bringing pleasure to the nostrils, and the entire forest was endowed with the heavenly beauty, which was giving spiritual bliss to the eyes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has thus explained the significance of this verse.
So, what are the points there?
All these, definitely, they are all performing Shanta.
You have to speak more loudly.
So everything in Vrindavan has left his life. So there is no matter. So all these flowers, etc., they are all in the Shantaras. They are all devotees.
Yeah, because all the flowers, all the creepers, all these things. In Vrindavan, there is only the three higher rasas. So there's only Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So because they witness the pastimes, the vines of the gopis and Krishna, then they have a tinge of Madhurya ras. So there's no pure Shanta ras. The cows, you could say in one sense, they would be in Shanta ras or Dashi ras, but they're also in, they have the mood of Vatsalya. So everything in Vrindavan is tinged by the higher rasas. There's no pure Shanta ras, there's no pure Dashi ras in Vrindavan. Any other points? So the five senses of Krishna are being satisfied by the Vrindavan forest. So it is a festival for the senses. It's the most beautiful place. Just like sometimes you think in your life you've been to beautiful places. Krishna was saying last night in the Bhagavatam, anything which is attractive in this world, that's coming from Krishna. So think of the most beautiful place you've been in this lifetime. So we've been to some beautiful places. And all the senses are enlivened by the smells, by the sounds, by the touch, the taste, and the... what's the other one? Yes. Yeah, the sight. Yeah, the sight. So by the different sense objects, you become completely enlivened. You go to some places, you're completely enlivened by the surroundings. So Vrindavan is the most intensely enlivening place in the creation. It is the most satisfying place because even Krishna, God himself, is attracted to Vrindavan. In the morning, he cannot wait to go to Vrindavan. And as he's going to Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, she comes behind him. She says, "Don't go, stay here for the day. You have so much nice food here. You have a beautiful palace to live in, right?" And Krishna says, no, I just want to go. And Mother Yashoda says, no, stay here. You can just stay here for the day and we will look after you. And he says, no, I just want to go. He's so attracted to Vrindavan. And she says, no, you just stay. And then Mother Mangala, Krishna's friend, she says, Mayi, Mother, we don't give a fig for your palace. Right? We only care about Vrindavan. We want to go to the forest. Right? So your palace is nothing compared to Vrindavan. Right? And then they all leave. They go to Vrindavan. They just want to be in the forest because in that place, everything is... It's the most satisfying. Even God himself is mesmerized by the beauty of Vrindavan. It is all attractive. Just as Krishna is all attractive, Vrindavan is all attractive. So they desire just to be in Vrindavan. So it says in the previous chapter, the gopis make flower garlands with five different types of flowers, which means they're offering their five senses to Krishna. And Vrindavan, when Krishna enters in, Vrindavan is offering it pleasure to all five of his senses. Everything that Vrindavan does is just to give pleasure to all of Krishna's senses simultaneously. And it captivates Krishna's mind. And it captivates Krishna's devotee's mind. Who is Krishna's greatest devotee? Yeah. Radha. Right? Srimati Radharani, when she goes to Kurukshetra and she meets Krishna after many years, she's with Krishna, and they go off to a secluded place, just Krishna and the gopis. And then Krishna sits down. There's nowhere for Krishna to sit. So they take one chadar, and they put their chadar on the ground, and they say, "Please sit down." So Krishna sits down, all the gopis sit around, and Radharani is with him again, after many years. Right? And he said, "Why did you leave?" Right? And Krishna, they have a whole discussion, which takes place. And in the end, she says, "I don't want to be here." He said, "You're here, I'm here, it's the same night, the moon is the same, but I don't want to be here, I want to go to Vrindavan now." Right? "So you come with me now and we'll go to Vrindavan. And don't ever leave." So in one sense, they always live in Vrindavan, they never leave. In another sense, in the material world, sometimes they leave. But in the spiritual world, they always stay, just in Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Dham, a key. The primeval Lord saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. So he's in a joking mood right now. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna's joking. So now he begins to speak to Balaram. But he starts to smile. So he's about to start joking with Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees." So, Krishna is joking because he's saying to Balaram, "Just look, Balaram, all of the trees are bowing to your lotus feet, to touch your lotus feet." But what he's actually saying is that they're all bowing to touch my lotus feet. Because Krishna is even more attractive than Balaram. So, he's saying like that to Balaram. Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, it's not proper to glorify yourself. Krishna can't say, "Just look, they're all about to touch my feet." So he says to Balaram, "Look, they're about to touch your feet." But actually he's talking about himself. So he says it indirectly. Now, he says that all of the trees, they've taken birth in this form because they've done some sinful activity in the previous life. That's why people take birth as trees. Right? If you see trees, that means that they're sinful people. They've done something in bad karma in the previous, they took birth as a tree. Just like, you know, there's that Burnett Street temple. Before we had this temple, we had the one in Burnett Street, St. Kilda. Have any of you seen that temple? We used to have a temple in, before we brought this one down in St. Kilda. There's one house, just a house. But that used to be the Hare Krishna temple before this temple. So Prabhupada, there's a courtyard in the back, and the tree in the courtyard, when Prabhupada looked out the window and he saw the tree, he said, that's the previous landlord. Because he was so attached to this house, he took birth as the tree. And now he's trying to grow back into the house. So if you're sinful, you take birth as a tree. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, there's no, in Vrindavan, nothing is sinful. So these trees, they haven't taken birth as trees because of sin. They've taken birth as trees because they're great sages. Yeah? Great sages for many lifetimes who are performing devotional service and tapasya to reach Krishna. They took birth as trees just so they could see Krishna every day, go past them. So in Vrindavan, nothing is ignorant. Nothing is fallen. Nothing is sinful. If we can take birth as a tree in Vrindavan, that would be beyond our dreams. If we go even further than that, that would be even further beyond our dreams. Oh, original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that these bees, they are extremely exalted because Krishna says to Balaram, they can follow you into the forest groves. In other words, the bees can go and see pastimes that even your friends cannot see. Meaning, when Balaram is with the gopis or Krishna is with the gopis, the bees can enter. Right? And they can witness the most confidential pastimes. So the bees are also in Madhurya Ras. They're in the conjugal mood, even though they're bees in that form. But they have the mood of conjugal love. Because they witness pastimes between Krishna and the gopis, which no one else can see. Krishna's parents cannot see, Krishna's friends cannot see. But the bees can enter into those places. So they're considered the most exalted personalities. So Krishna says, punya, which means they must be sinless. If they've gone into these places, they must be the most exalted personalities. Yeah? Because how else could they... So they're flying along. Krishna and Balaram are walking and they're flying with them, buzzing around them. Right? It's different to the material world. This is explained. Right? In the material world, if bees are around you, you get disturbed. Yeah? You have like a whole group of bees around you, you become like, ooh. Like that. In the spiritual world, there is no fear. No one stings you. Right? No one bites you. The snakes do not bite. Right? Even in the spiritual world, sometimes Radharani is running away from Krishna. So Krishna is chasing her down the forest path. Right? He's trying to catch her, but he can't catch her. So then Yogamaya makes a snake come along, a cobra. And then the cobra makes a big circle, and he goes like this. And Radharani sees it, she goes, and she runs around and runs back to Krishna. So even in the spiritual, the snakes will never bite. But they're just there to assist the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So the bees are also like that. They'll never bite, but they're just there to assist. They just make a very beautiful buzzing sound. It says that when Krishna is wearing his garland, the bees are always buzzing around. If you ever see paintings of Krishna, there should be bees in the painting, because they're always with Krishna. And Krishna is known as Madhusudan. And Madhusudha means, so it's like a name for the bee, when it gives the honey, the sweetness. There's even that pastime where Krishna is sitting with Radharani at a place called near Vashana. The place is called Prem Sarovara. Yeah? Has anyone been to Prem Sarovara? No. So Prem Sarovara, have you been there? Prem Sarovara? Very close to Vashana. Very, very exalted place, very powerful place. Anyone been there? No, you've been to Prem Sarovara? Okay, good. You've been? Yeah. And the lake is shaped in an octagon, eight sides. Very beautiful lake. And there's eight ghats coming out like that. It's a very, very sacred place. So one time Radharani was there with Krishna, and Radharani was sitting on Krishna's lap, and then a bee came. And Radharani said, quickly, get the bee away. So Krishna said, Madhu, Madhu, Madhu Mangala, come, get rid of the bee. So Madhu Mangala came in, he shooed the bee, and the bee went outside. And then he came back in, and he said, Madhusudan is gone. And then Radharani, she was sitting on Krishna's lap, but when she heard that Krishna was gone, Madhu Mangala was speaking about the bee, but she thought Krishna was gone, but she was sitting on Krishna's lap. She went into complete vipralamba. She went into, it's called Prema Vivarta. Prema Vivarta means deep anxiety due to separation from Krishna, but Krishna was right next to her. So then Krishna sees Radharani, and then he sees Radharani is completely, and then he becomes like that. So then you've got these two mad people, right, who are right next to each other, but they both think they've both have gone. They're feeling separation from each other while they're united. Right? So sometimes when they're separated, they feel united. And sometimes when they're united, they feel separation. It was going madness. This is the highest, highest, highest levels of love of God, which are spoken about later in the Bhagavatam. These are the highest levels of love of God. At that point in time, Krishna thinks, when, and then eventually they come out and they realize they're both there. But then Krishna, when he goes home later and he thinks about the pastimes, he thinks, I have to leave Vrindavan. Because everyone here is going mad. So I have to leave. And that's when he goes to Mathura. That's part of the reason why he leaves and goes to Mathura. Because if I stay here, everyone's going to go mad. And if I'm here, they're mad. If I'm not here, they're mad. It's like everything is just... It's the highest, highest levels of Krishna consciousness. We can't understand it, but these are the highest levels. O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. Those doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. So it says, when Krishna enters into the forest of Vrindavan, he is greeted. The peacocks greet him. They begin to dance. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when you greet a saintly person, when a saintly person comes to your home, he said, you should greet them with sweet words, favorable glances, and dancing. So if a saintly person comes, you should organize a dance, right? Your guru comes to your home, right? Organize a dance. Someone can do a dance. Maybe your daughter can dance. But it is considered cultured when someone comes. Just like, you know, we have festivals like Janmashtami. We have dances, we have dramas, all these things are considered auspicious. So, sweet words, auspicious glances, and dances. So when Krishna goes into the forest of Vrindavan, right, all the birds begin to sing very sweetly to greet him. The peacocks, they call out. What do they make? What is that noise they make? is it? Kikor, kikor. They make that sound, the peacocks make that sound. And actually, if you break down those words that they say, they're actually saying Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. Kikor, kikor, kikor. In Sanskrit, if you break it down, it actually, they're saying Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. Yeah? So, as Krishna comes into Vrindavan, very sweet words are being spoken. Everyone looks at him very favorably. And the peacocks begin to dance. All their plume comes up. And they begin to dance for Krishna. Right? And then, you know why Krishna wears the peacock feather in his hair? Because one time Radha and Krishna were watching the peacocks dancing. And Radharani said to Krishna, "The peacock dances more beautifully than you." And Krishna says, "No, no, no." He said, "I dance more beautifully than the peacock." Radharani says, "Show me." So Krishna gets up and the peacocks are dancing. And then Krishna begins to dance like the peacock, very beautifully. Right? And then Krishna turns into the peacock. Right? And then he begins to dance as a peacock, very beautifully. And then Radha, she becomes captivated. She stands up and she turns into a peacock. And then the two of them are dancing together as peacocks. And Krishna always wears the peacock feather. Have you ever seen Krishna without a peacock feather? Right? Always, because he's always remembering this pastime with Radha Rani. Hands up if you want to go to Vrindavan. Okay. Very far out place. Right? They dance, they turn into peacocks, they dance as peacocks. Right? It's the most supernatural place. Right? These things take place every day in the spiritual world. "This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances, but above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself." So this is the first time in the Bhagavatam so far the gopis have been spoken of directly. First time in the 10th canto, directly spoken. Now, up until now, there's no mention. Right? But this is the first time. Now they're just about to manifest. Madhurya Rasa is just about to manifest. Because Krishna is coming to the age where he will perform pastimes with the gopis. And it says the goddess of fortune, she wants to be a gopi, but she cannot be. Because she cannot enter the mood of the gopis. So therefore she appears as Sri Vatsa. Sri Vatsa means on Krishna's chest, he has a golden tuft of hair. A little piece of hair, which is there. And that is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She enters and she can witness everything. She can see all the pastime, but she can't become a gopi. She can't make her break her mood of being Mahalakshmi. Aishwarya, she cannot break. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the banks of the river Jamuna below Govardhan Hill. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he points out that thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants. Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the banks of the river below Govardhan Hill. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, at this point, Krishna was just at the age, when he's in Paugandala age, him and Balaram are inseparable. He's with Balaram all the time. Because they're boys, they're just playing. And they cannot enjoy enough. They just play and play and play. But now, because it's like Kaishora Leela is also beginning to manifest. When he gets to that age, when he gets near Govardhan Hill every day, he says to Balaram, "Can you take the boys to the Jamuna to give the cows water?" He said, "I will come soon. But I have a few things I have to do in the forest." And Balaram said, "Okay." So he takes all the boys, they go off one direction. Krishna goes off with Madhu Mangala or just Subal or one or two friends, and he goes and he meets the gopis. And it says here, next to Govardhan Hill means Manasiganga, which is that very famous lake, which is right in the center, very close to, if you go to the ISKCON ashram, the palace, right just near there, there's Manasiganga. So that's where they meet, and then they go down to Radhakut, Kusum Sarovar and Radhakut. So this is when the pastimes have just been, it's not directly mentioned here, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna is, at this point in time, is when he starts going off and enjoying with the gopis. Everything is hidden. So the Bhagavatam is all hidden. It's not explicit. I mean, there's a few chapters later on where it becomes very direct, but a lot of it's very hidden. But for Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he understands that Krishna is thinking about the gopis at this point. Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends and Baladev, would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing, while his friends sang about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making the cowherd boyfriends laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. Sometimes he would cry out in imitation of the birds, such as the chakoras, the crunches, chakraras, baradwajas, and peacocks. And sometimes he would run away with the smaller animals in mock fear of lions and tigers. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says there are no lions and tigers, means there's no vicious ones. He says in the spiritual world in Vrindavan, even the lions and tigers are friendly. Such a nice place to, if we can ever get there. Lions and tigers are walking around, but they don't eat anyone. So you can just imagine what it must be like there. Sometimes, as the cowherd boys danced, sang, moved about, and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby, hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities and laugh. Mm. I missed one? When his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. So Lord Balaram is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. He just wants to serve Krishna. So much so that he expands himself as the entire spiritual world to serve Krishna. But Krishna wants to serve Balaram. So there is always a competition. Sometimes Balaram lies on Krishna's lap and sometimes Krishna lies on Balaram's lap. But everyone in the spiritual world, including Krishna, is in the mood of service. The devotees like to massage each other's feet. They like to massage each other's head. They like to do seva to each other. The whole spiritual world is about one thing, seva. Seva means service, unconditional service. The acharyas say, if you are envious of another devotee, then you should serve that devotee. We should serve any devotee. I remember I was in Mayapur in Navadvip Mandal Parikram 1994, and I was walking in front of my guru. He was with a group of devotees, hundreds of devotees. So I was in front, he was back at maybe about 20 meters. And then he called out to me. I was walking with a god brother. He said, "Hey Keshava." And I turned around and I said, "Yes, Gurudev." Right? And he said, "When you finish, because we're walking all day, long walking. And when everyone finishes, they're tired." He said, "When you get to the camp," he said, "you massage him." And my god brother. I said, "Okay." So I said, "When we get there, I'll massage you." Because that's the mood. My guru was saying, you're in the spiritual world now. Serve the devotees. Serve the devotees. Serve the devotees. You should massage whichever devotee is closest to you. You should offer that seva. That is the mood of the spirit. I remember on that same parikram I was there, and then Tamal Krishnamurti was speaking to all the devotees at Yogapit, and he said, we should serve all of the devotees while we're on the parikram. Do service to the devotees. And then he said, you should take the dust of the feet of the devotees. And Tamal Krishnamurti was sitting on the stage, and there's 20 sannyasis. You know, all the big gurus in ISKCON, they're all sitting with him. And then they all started taking each other's dust from their feet. And everyone was fighting. You know, Shivan Swami was trying to take Bhakti Churu Swami's dust, and then he was taking his, and he was like, you know, like the whole, all of them all died. Then all the devotees, hundreds of devotees, 900 devotees, everyone started taking the dust of each other's feet. That's the mood of the spiritual world. So Balaram is massaging Krishna's feet. Krishna's massaging Balaram's feet. So Krishna wants to serve the devotees, so we should also want to serve them. Is that okay? Then you will be allowed, to go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, Krishna will not let you back. If you say, I will not serve the devotees, then Krishna will not let you go back. Sometimes Lord Krishna... Did I read? No, I'll read 15 again. Yep. Sometimes as the cowherd boys danced, sang, moved about and playfully fought with each other, Krishna and Balaram, standing nearby hand in hand, would glorify their friends' activities and laugh. Sometimes Lord Krishna grew tired from fighting and lay down at the base of a tree, resting upon a bed made of soft twigs and buds and using the lap of a cowherd friend as his pillow. Sometimes the cowherd boys, who were all great souls, would then massage his lotus feet, and others, qualified by being free of all sin, would expertly fan the Supreme Lord. My dear King, other boys would sing enchanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the Goddess of Fortune, concealed his transcendental opulences by his internal potency and acted like the son of a cowherd. Yet even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. Once, some of the cowherd boys, Sri Dharma, the very close friend of Rama and Krishna, along with Subala, Stoker Krishna and others, lovingly spoke the following words. The cowherd boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, destroyer of the miscreants, not far from here is a very great forest filled with rows of palm trees. So the Sanskrit is very interesting. Rama, Rama, Mahabaho, Krishna, Dushta, Nibahana. Rama, Rama, Mahabaho. So they all sing out, Balaram, Balaram, mighty armed. Krishna, Krishna, Dushtinibahana, one who destroys the inauspiciousness, the demons. In that Talavan forest, many fruits are falling from the trees and many are already lying on the ground, but all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Danuka. So this Asura, his name is Danukasura. He takes the form of a donkey, ass. So he's a very interesting. When next time we have class, I'll tell you about him. But he's interesting. He's a little bit different to the other demons so far. Because he's not killed by Krishna, he's killed by Balaram. And there's two in this canto. Krishna kills many demons, but there's two that are killed by Balaram. Who are they? Pralambasura and Danukasura. And there's a technical reason why Balaram kills them, not Krishna. Because they represent, the anattas they represent are a little bit different. But you have to wait till next time. And then we'll tell you. I could tell you now, but I haven't got time to elaborate on it. Yes.
Also, isn't there the gorilla
called Dvivida. Yeah, that was outside of Vrindavan. Yeah, but that's a good point. Yeah, he was killed by. Very good. Okay. In that Taliban forest, many fruits are falling down from the trees and many are already lying on the ground. But all the fruits are being guarded by the evil Dhanuka. O Rama, O Krishna, Dhanuka is the most powerful demon and has assumed the form of an ass. He is surrounded by many friends who have assumed a similar shape and who are just as powerful as he. The demon Dhanuka has eaten men alive, and therefore all people and animals are terrified of going to the Tala forest. O killer of the enemy, even the birds are afraid to fly there. So they say to Krishna, let's go to the Tala forest so we can eat fruits. But what is their mentality? Why do they want to go and eat the fruits? Why do they want to go to the Tala forest? Yeah.
They want Krishna.
Very good. Yeah. Because they want Krishna to eat the fruits. What do we do? When you see nice fruit, what do you want to do? You want to eat it. But when you're advanced in consciousness, you want Krishna to eat it. So we know the famous pastime of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. He was only 5 years old. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, brought the mangoes home. And when he brought the mangoes in, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati went to get one, he was only a five-year-old boy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, who is taking the Lord's bhoga before it is offered to the deities? Right? And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's only 5 years old, he took a vow he would never eat a mango again for his whole life. Right? Hands up if you could do that. Right. You don't like them, so you But hands up if you could do that. No one could do that. Hands up if you could not eat a mango for 1 year. Yeah, three people. Right. But it's not easy to do these things. But Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur took a vow for 1 year, not 1 year, his whole life he would not take the mango. So that is the mood. The coward boys are all on the level of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So they don't want to eat the mangoes. They say, Krishna, we want to eat those tal fruit. But they don't want to eat them. They want Krishna to eat them. They say, can you please go to the forest and kill that demon? You killed so many demons. You killed Bakasura the other day. You killed Agasura the other day. Can you kill this guy? No? Then we can eat these fruits. Right? So they're in Sakyaras. Yeah? What is Sakyaras? Well, what's the quality of Sakyaras? Friendship. What's the quality? Equality. Yeah, you don't see Krishna as higher, you see him same. Right? So it's like when you're friends, when you're all together with your friends, right? Especially when you're younger. You're with your friends. You know, me and my friends, we used to be together. You can do that. Yeah, I can do that as well. I bet you can't do that. Yeah, I can do it. Come on. Like that. So then we go on Ralph and we do something. Like that. So Krishna, the boys are saying like that. Hey, you can kill that demon. You killed that other demon yesterday. Come on, let's go and kill that demon. Yeah, all right, I'll kill him. So then they all go together. So we're in this joking mood together. One of the seven sub-rasas is chivalry. So in Sakyaras, there's a lot of chivalry. So they're always challenging Krishna. Come on, you can kill this guy. Like that. And Krishna gets into the mood. Yes, I'll kill him. Come on, let's go. So there, all this joking is going on. So it's just a festival which is taking place. In the Tal forest are sweet smelling fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we smell the fragrance of the Tal fruits spreading all about. O Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted to their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire is to have those fruits. To have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, let's go to that Tal forest. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Ki. So next week we'll continue. We'll finish that chapter 15. And then we'll tell about Dhanukasura in detail. Because Dhanukasura is an intricate parts of the pastime went to Nukasura. But tonight we won't have time to elaborate. So. Hare Krishna.